25. People who are avid collectors usually know all about the things that they collect. And if a thimble, button, or fishing lure, or dessert bowl has a specialized name, they're going to know the difference between a ramekin and a coquette. Our text is familiar ground. No surprises here, but there are truths being taught that are worth collecting, truths about which it's profitable to know the distinction. First, we have this Latin little gem, nomen is omen, not nomen Dei essentiali. That says, we don't go by the incommunicable name of God. The Masonic Lodge does that. Quote, I'm quoting from their writings. One of the most important symbols in Freemasonry is the ineffable or incommunicable name of God. You have to reach the 17th degree of Masonry to find out what that name is. The unknown God, that's whom Paul found the people in Athens worshiping and proclaimed he knew who that was. And so do you. The nomen is omen. The name is the sign. Separately, both Mother Mary and stepfather Joseph are told by an angel to name Mary's son Jesus. Jesus is J-E, Yahweh, or Jehovah, plus S-U-S, saves. The God who walked with Adam in the garden was Abraham's friend, the one who spoke to Moses face to face, yet who only showed him his glory from behind. Yahweh, who drowned a world to rescue his church. Yahweh, who dwelled in a cloud that protected his church from the Egyptians, and who dwelled this way in the Holy of Holies. That's whom Mary is giving birth to. Other Old Testament spellings of that name Jesus point to different aspects of who he is and what he does. Think of Joshua in the Old Testament, the commanding general of the Old Testament church's armies, who delivered the promised land into their hands. Jesus is the Greek way of saying Joshua. God's people are oppressed and outnumbered in Mary's time by the Romans for sure, but even more by sin, death, and the devil. General Jesus is born to defeat them. Notice what the angel says. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's the salvation that was really needed, not from the Romans, but sins. And that's us too. We think we need saving from the cancel culture, a Sodom and Gomorrah decadence, and runaway inflation. Nope, for us too, we need saving from our sins. The name is the sign, and Jesus in the New Testament is also Hosea in the Old. Hosea's wife is unfaithful. God knows it. Hosea knows it. Nevertheless, Hosea is told to take her back, and he does. See here how God's love, mercy, grace for us fallen sinners can only be shown by human love that is way beyond the pale. God in Jesus has inexhaustible love for sinful mankind. Hosea's patient, superhuman love saves his repeatedly fallen wife. Hosea was a living prophecy of the tenderness of God toward sinners, a picture of God's love for us when alien from him and with nothing in us to love. Jesus is the book of Hosea come to life. From Latin, we go to two Greek words. They're not used that much today, as much as they were 200 years ago. Here we collect theanthropos, not misanthrope. That is, the God-man, not a hater of mankind. Emmanuel in this text is not a name, but a description of who Jesus is, God with us. Christmas carols dwell on this mystery. For example, we sing Emmanuel says, in lowly manger dost thou rest, thou making all things great art small, so poor art thou, yet clothest all. Or how about the Luther hymn we sing Christmas Eve? You can't get any plainer than this. Made like yourselves of flesh and blood, your brother is the eternal God. Let hell and Satan rage and chafe, Christ is your brother. Ye are safe. God with us. World War I and II German soldiers wore belt buckles with Gott mit uns, God with us, on them. Now that was not confessing the incarnation. but hubris. God was on their side. Read Joshua 5, 13 to 14. Now when Joshua, I'm quoting, was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and said, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in worship. Read the prayers of Robert E. Lee. Compare them to the battle hymn of the Republic. The North believed they were the Lord's armies, trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath were stored. That would be the South getting trampled. The North was the Lord's fateful lightning and his terrible swift sword. Lee prays for his enemies, prays for humility, and prays for the war to come to a quick end. God is with us in the Emmanuel sense when we see he is Theanthropos. He is the God-man. He's the bridge between whose divine nature reaches deity and his human nature reaches humanity. If a bridge doesn't reach both sides, it's useless. God sent his only beloved son into the virgin's womb to establish a beachhead for deity in her humanity. He is not like Hercules, son of Zeus, 50% God, 50% man. No, Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. So in the depths of fallenness, in the depths of brokenness, in the depths of despair that only sinful men can know, the man Jesus knows it. He's with you in the pit, in the terror, in the joys too. And also he's with God as a man, and so can speak before God as the one who ever lives to make intercession for sinful mankind. He's there at the throne of the Almighty, speaking as our lawyer. He's on our side, ever reminding the Father that we are made of dust, and that he descended all the way into that dust to raise us mud men in his person, all the way up to be partakers of the divine nature. We can't close out this text without collecting the Latin thought semper fi, not semper virgo. The proper way to value Mary is as a virgin who humbled herself to receive the gift of the Christ child at the cost of her reputation, almost her marriage, and the pain of a sword piercing her own soul. As the Marine Corps motto has it, value her as semper fi, always faithful to God's grace, and not semper virgo, always a virgin, even after giving birth. And now it's true, Luther and other Lutheran fathers believe Mary gave birth cluso utero with a closed womb, and so remained semper virgo. You can find Calvin, Swingley, and Wesley saying similar things. Here's what our confessions say. Jesus has a mode of presence where he can be present without occupying space, as a musical note does. He employed this mode of presence when he left the closed grave and came through locked doors, in the bread and wine, in the Lord's Supper, and, as people believe, when he was born of his mother. Now, this is not about Mary, that part of our confession, but how Jesus could be present in communion. In another place into the confessions, we say, on account of this personal union and communion of the natures, Mary, the most blessed virgin, did not bear a mere man, but as the angel testifies, she bore a man who is truly the Son of the Most High God. He showed his divine mercy even in his mother's womb, because he was born of a virgin without violating her virginity. Therefore, she is truly the mother of God and yet has remained a virgin. Again, this isn't about Mary, but about Jesus having two natures and the human taking on the qualities of the divine. Furthermore, we subscribe to our Lutheran confessions based on them being a true exposition of the doctrines of the Bible. It's not a doctrine of the Bible that Mary gave birth with a closed womb or remained forever virgin. It's a deduction some in the early church and Lutheran church made. But it's no more binding than that same Lutheran confession saying some believe smearing garlic on a magnet impedes its power. As for the early church confessing Jesus was born of or incarnate of the Virgin Mary, They were confessing against the error that Jesus only seemed to have a human body. Saying that she was born from or of the Virgin Mary means from the substance of the mother rather than simply through her. Born of the Virgin Mary emphasized in today's terms that Jesus had Mary's DNA, not that she remained a virgin. Semper Fi, not Semper Virgo. The man Jesus was always faithful to God in our place, through the requirements of the law in our place, to bearing the just judgments of the law in our place. He went to hell on the cross and then went through death itself because that's what the law requires of sinners. Hebrews 3, 5 to 6 says, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, but God is faithful as a son over God's house. I use with the kids the prince and the pauper. Jesus is kicked out of the Father's house for our sins and sinfulness, which he clothed himself with. We, covered by his blood and righteousness, are welcome into and over God's house as princess. Semper Fi, not Semper Virgo. Jesus never gave up our flesh and blood, even when hell, sin, and death stormed him. He went through life, hell, death, resurrection, and ascension, never letting us go. And he doesn't let us go and let go, and he doesn't let go of our human nature now. Therefore, since the incarnation, wherever you place God, you must place man. And wherever you see man, you must see God there too. That's Emmanuel, God with us. It's not only true in him living our life and paying for our sins, but for all time and eternity. Old calendars called Christmas the Feast of the Incarnation or the beginning of redemption. In the West, that's our ancestors. It's a feast in honor of Mary. In the East, that's the Orthodox, it's a feast day of Christ. The particular collectible from Lutheranism concerning the incarnation is go from below to on high. Here's Luther. The scriptures begin gently and lead us to Christ as to a man, and then to a Lord over all creation, then to a Lord over all things, and then to God. Now the philosophers, this is still Luther, have wanted to begin at the top. There they become fools. One must begin from below. Read Ezekiel. Prominent throughout that book is this phrase, then you will know that I am Yahweh. Neither the Old Testament church nor the New Testament church came to the confession that the Messiah is Yahweh easily. And based on our text, Philippians 2 and Revelation 19, the full implications of the divine name Jesus will only be known in eternity, and then worshiped and adored, not explained. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.